18, Jesus on Lifestyle. People are a priority for God. People were made to be loved and things were made to be used. But often we get this confused, and many of the world's problems are caused because we love things and use people. If you want to take a good, honest look at what your priorities are, get out your checkbook and credit card statement and examine the things you spend money on. Still not sure? Then get out your planner or calendar and explore the things you give your time to. Do we have Jesus' priorities? Are we living gospel values? The answer is usually yes and no. We do and are to some extent, but there is still a lot of work to be done. The world is constantly trying to seduce us to make things, money, accomplishments, and comfort the priorities of our lives. And we have all worshipped these things to varying extents by giving them an inordinate place in our lives. So once again, Jesus challenges us to rethink everything surrounding the way we live. Things and people. You have heard it said that the best things in life are not things. So what are the best things in life? What are the best things in your life right now? And what are the best things that are not in your life yet, because you don't even know that they should be? A lot of our modern lifestyle is based on having things. Jesus rejected the idea that things should have a primary place in our lives. Other than the clothes on his back and the sandals on his feet, he had nothing, and his teachings constantly affirmed that people were primary and things were secondary. Our collective lust for money and things has blinded us to the real and legitimate needs of so many people. Some of these people live just a few blocks from us. Others live on the other side of the world. All are children of God, and that makes them our brothers and sisters. The problem is we value some people more than other people. Jesus doesn't do that. If 100 people died in a natural disaster in our city, this would capture our attention for days, weeks, months, or even years. If 1,000 people died on the other side of the world, we might barely think of it again after watching the story on the news. Why do we value American lives more than African lives? Why are we comfortable with Asian children sewing our running shoes in horrific conditions for wages that are barely enough to buy food? What is so important? Cheap shoes? Cheap clothes? Cheap drill bits? Cheap stuff. Would you be willing to pay a little more? How much more? Our quest for more and more of everything is affecting real lives. Our quest for the cheapest of everything is literally killing people in other parts of the world. Those people over there, in other countries, whom we so easily place apart from us, are men and women just like you, with hopes and dreams. And they have children, just as precious to them as your children are to you. Our cheap stuff comes with a price tag, heartache and suffering. Jesus wants to challenge our attitudes and behaviors towards things because they affect our attitudes and behaviors towards people. Mother Teresa wrote, "Live simply so that others may simply live." How many of the world's problems are caused because too often we love things and use people? Money, money, money. Throughout the four Gospels, Jesus speaks about money more than any other topic. The reason, I suspect, is that nothing gets between us and God like money. Nothing will mess up our values and priorities like money. Do you have a healthy relationship with money? There are 1,000 ways to have an unhealthy relationship with money. You can hoard it or waste it, use it to control others, or lust after more of it. The list goes on and on. There is one way to have a healthy relationship with money. Remember, it is not yours. Everything belongs to God. The money and things we have, He has simply entrusted to us. We are stewards. This realization gives birth to gospel generosity. That's right, you guessed. Gospel generosity is radical. Hungry to be noticed. Another hallmark of our culture is our inordinate desire to be noticed, to stand out, and our obsession with fame. Jesus was not interested in these things. One of my favorite Bible passages is in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel. Jesus goes to a village, and the people bring their family and friends asking him to heal them. He spends the evening healing the people. Early the next morning, Simon comes looking for Jesus, who has gone off to a quiet place to pray, and says, "Everyone is looking for you." There would be a natural tendency for us to want to bathe in the glory of success, but Jesus basically says to Simon, "Let's get out of here." Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 38. The people of that village, and many before it, and many after it, would have been more than happy to make Jesus their leader. They would have been more than happy to smother him with praise, status, riches, and every good thing this world has to offer. He rejected it all and moved on to the next place to fulfill his mission. There is no place like home. Consider the most basic element of our lifestyles. Where do you live? Where do you call home? Home is something most of us take for granted. But Jesus didn't have that. Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Luke chapter 9, verse 58. It began, of course, with his radical entry into this world, a tiny ovum in the womb of an unmarried woman. Then there was the manger. He didn't have a reservation. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born in a stable. Throughout his entire public life, there is no record of Jesus going home. We read of him visiting the region where he was from. But there is nothing about him going back to his family home, and certainly no record that he had a home of his own. In all my years of travel, one of the most difficult things has been being away from home. There are 1,000 things that you take for granted at home. The feel of your own bed, the firmness of your pillows, the temperature and ability to control it, your preferred food and beverages in the refrigerator, and all your things. When you are on the road, you don't have any of this. Life on the road can make you feel unsettled, disoriented, unmoored. When you have been away, whether for a few days or for many months, it is a wonderful feeling to come home. We yearn for home. The people of every nation and culture universally celebrate the feeling of arriving home because it is a foreshadowing of our final journey home to be with God in heaven for eternity. Point to ponder. You need to work on your attitudes towards money, things, and people. Verse to live. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Question to consider. What is one practical way you can live this teaching in the coming week? Prayer. Jesus, please rearrange my priorities. Help me to live a little bit more like you each day.